Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Boyle, and today I am interviewing the lovely Hannah Levin. Hannah is an Ayurveda health counselor, a yoga teacher, and a yoga health coach who also holds a master's degree in education. It is through her own healing path from chronic allergies, anxiety, sleep struggles, digestive issues, and chronic hip pain that led her to find yoga and Ayurveda. Today, Hannah helps women regain their optimal health and vitality through her two online programs. And in our interview, we dive into all things yoga, Ayurveda. We talk about Hannah's own health journey, and we talk about just some really simple and easy practices that all women and everybody in general can adopt to really help optimize their health. So let's have a listen in. Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health Podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health Podcast. Hi, Hannah. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Now, for listeners that might not know who you are, can you share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I work with women to recover their health and thereby discover their best lives. So I work with Ayurveda as a medicine field and yoga and mindset and behavioral science. So all these pieces coming together into a year-long program that I run online for women all over. And we really dive into what's holding folks back, whether they've been diagnosed with big issues like autoimmune disease, all the way to, you know, wanting to lose some weight or dealing with high cholesterol or simply wanting to age gracefully, you know, living in alignment with their true nature. It's really, really what I do. And I came to doing this work from my own healing crisis. And I think many of us that work in the healing fields come to our work very honestly in that we needed to be healed first. And so that was my story too. So starting when I was a child, I started dealing with what I later came to understand as my constitutional imbalance. But I was dealing with chronic allergies, which meant I had chronic sinus infections, which meant I was on antibiotics a lot, which disrupted my gut, which then led to lots of other things. I'm sure you've had lots of guests on here, and maybe you've had your own adventure with gut imbalance and leaky gut and all of those things. So I ended up with, you know, chronic constipation, headaches, continued allergies, insomnia, weight gain, all the things.
All the fun things.
All the fun things. Yeah. So that, I mean, I'm so grateful that I can giggle about it now, because I was pretty miserable for several years. And even during that time, I was a yoga teacher. And so I was kind of held up as this vision of health in the community, but I was really struggling inside and quite miserable. And so it, you know, affected me on all layers, body, mind, and spirit. And it came, the big wake up for me came when I got diagnosed with a precancerous condition in 2013. And that was kind of my slap in the face of like, you need to change something. And I was told by the doctor that if I didn't have surgery, that I was going to die. And I just kind of heard that information. I was like, I'm not sure that I agree with that. It really brought me to ask myself, what do I innately believe about our bodies and our potential? And what I realized I believed is that bodies can heal if given the right conditions. And that's what I have gone on to learn in all of my studies with Ayurveda, and what I now teach and what my clients are manifesting in their lives. And now I no longer struggle with any of those things. So that's kind of the short story.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think if you can get to that point where you can laugh about it, you're definitely on the other side of it.
Yes.
And I, like you said, so many people that end up working in the health field, you end up healing your body first. You have your own trials and tribulations that you have to go through. And I believe that makes you a better practitioner on whatever level because you've experienced it.
Absolutely.
So you know what it feels like and you know that there's hope to be able to heal it. So I think that's a really big part when you do work within, because you work pretty personally with people when you are in the
health field. Oh, absolutely. We talk about poop all the time.
Yeah. And so many more other things as well. But I think it's such a personal relationship that if you can work with someone that, one, you trust and, two, has experience with it or, you know, and has come out on the other side, it can make a huge difference too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So can you just do, again, a bit of a brief explanation about what Ayurveda is for the listeners out there that may have heard the term, and I know a little bit about it. We've had a guest on before that has worked with it, so she went through the different types that you may be, Pitta and that, but bar that, I don't know much else, so if you can share that, it would be great.
Yeah, we can do a little intro to Ayurveda 101. So Ayurveda originated in India over 5,000 years ago. So the first thing I like to point out is that things that don't work don't stick around. And for this form of healing to stick around that long and even be sent underground during British rule in India and still persist, there must be something to it, right? It's this sister science of yoga, which we'll get into, I think, a little bit later. But it's really focused on how we live our lives. And the word Ayurveda tells you kind of what it is if you understand Sanskrit. So Ayur means life and Veda means knowledge or wisdom. So Ayurveda means the knowledge of life or the wisdom of life. And I jokingly like to say it's like the secret of life that we're all looking for, like that none of us really know. And yet Ayurveda gives us what I like to call our individual owner's manual. Like when you get a car, you have an owner's manual. And when a little light goes off on your dashboard, you look it up in your owner's manual and it tells you what it is. Well, we don't have that for our particular individual body, mind, and spirit combinations. But when we get to understand ourselves through Ayurveda, then there's no mystery. We understand the symptoms and the signals that our bodies are sending to us as those little lights that go off, and we can see what needs to shift so that we can remain healthy and happy and functioning well. So Ayurveda is based on five elements, and those are air, space, fire, water, and earth. And everything comes back to these five elements, whether it's the weather pattern, mental state, physical characteristic, food, time of life, it all comes back to these elements. Ayurveda further simplifies things for us in breaking down things into these three different energies or constitutions or what we call dosha. And those are Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And each of them is made up of two elements. So Vata is made up of air and space, Pitta is made up of fire and water, and Kapha is made up of earth and water. So all of us have all three dosha in us, but just in different amounts. And this is what makes us unique universes unto ourselves, which means that a certain diet will work for you, but not for your friend. Or a certain type of exercise will feel really great to them, but not to you, right? So when we can understand our individual constitutions, we get an awesome roadmap of how to live well. But even before we understand our constitutions, we can understand a lot in terms of living in rhythm with nature, in terms of seasonal alignment that will benefit everybody, no matter what your constitution is. So a lot of times when people first come to interact with me, they're like, I need to understand my dosha or my constitution, or, you know, And I say, actually, you don't. To start practicing Ayurveda, we need to get some basic things in alignment that those of us living in modern culture don't know, because we're so out of touch with the natural world. And so a lot of what I needed to learn myself, and now what I teach, is all about living in alignment with the day and night cycle and with the seasonal cycle. And so those pieces are really, really key. And then we layer in on top of that our constitution and then our imbalances. So we can go out of balance in the areas of Vata, Pitta, or Kapha as well. And so we can bring ourselves back into balance and find perfect health through using the modalities of diet, lifestyle, and herbal medicine. So that's how I work with clients, is diet changes, lifestyle changes, and herbs.
Oh, so working with the seasonality and the day and the night cycle, do you mean like looking at people's sleep, looking at what activities they might be doing in different parts of the year? Or is it or is it looking at, say, your menstrual cycle and the parts of the menstrual cycle and the seasons within your menstrual cycle?
Well, yes, and all of it. And there's this other piece that is the doshic clock. So we have a doshic clock that we have 4-hour periods throughout the day that are governed by each dosha. So would you like me to walk you through what that looks like, or just give you an example?
I think it's just interesting to hear about the different modalities. So for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a way that we can all live in better rhythm, just if you follow what I'm about to say, regardless of what your dosha is. So we have these 4-hour periods throughout the day that are governed by each dosha. So we cycle through each dosha twice within a 24-hour period. So I'll just start guiding you through kind of what a day 24-hour cycle would look like, starting with waking up in the morning. So that is, so 2 to 6 a.m. is the Vata time. So governed by air and space. This is a time where all kind of traditions or spiritual lineages around the world, this is a time when you meditate or pray. You wake up before the dawn and you connect with something larger than yourself. It's in Sanskrit, it's called Brahma Muharta. It's the time when the veil between the spirit world and the human world is the thinnest. And we can really connect with bigger purpose, bigger meaning, deeper truth in our lives. So we want to wake up before the sunrise, ideally. So this is if you're not living in an extreme climate, super north or south on the, on the planet, right? So year round, we want to wake up before the sunrise and let our energy build with the coming of the day. So that solar energy actually energizes us for the day. When we wake up after the sunrise, we're in Kapha time, which is earth and water energy, which is heavy and dull and muddy. So our mental clarity is not going to be there. Our energy is not going to be there. So wake up before the sunrise. And we say that's around 6 a.m. if we just say like an average, but you can see where you live, as long as it's not an extreme climate, what makes sense there. But before the sunrise, meditate if you are called to do that, and be present for the rising of the sun. One of the best remedies for depression actually is to walk towards the rising sun each morning. I cannot stress how important this is. And the blue light of that early morning time has been shown to be really beneficial for the brain. Anyway, so much there. So then we go into Kapha time, which is from 6 to 10 a.m. Okay. And this is the best time to move your body. So I haven't pointed this out yet, but what we're doing is the opposite. We want our behaviors to be the opposite of the energies of the doshic time. So when that Vata time is air and ether, it's very like floaty and ungrounded. What do we want to do? We want to sit. We want to get real still and grounded. Kapha time, it's grounded energy. We want to move. This is the best time of day to move your body and to set your metabolism before you eat anything. You're going to get some energy moving, some heat in your body. We're going to have a light breakfast and then go into our activities for the day. So kapha time, that morning time before 10, is a great time for connective work, like teamwork, meetings, things like that. Then we get to 10 and we switch into pitta time. So between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. is pitta time. This is when fire is most dominant, fire and water. And it's when your digestive fire is at its height. So you want to eat your largest meal during this time. It's when our bile production is at its height. So often for people, they're snacking through the day and not really eating a proper meal in the middle of the day when the digestion can actually work at its best. And then they're eating a heavy later meal, which sets them up for a lot of imbalance, aka disease. So pitta time is a good time to, so fire energy, feed that fire, digestive fire, and also do some like cooling work, you know, like have your work schedule set up or however you set up your day to not be doing like lots of active things, although focused things can be helpful during that time. And then we come around to 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. So this is Vata time again. So Vata time is 2 to 6 a.m. and p.m. And so this is a good time for focused work, like studying, sitting again, not so much like a lot of people exercise during this time. And this isn't necessarily, it like kind of winds you up more instead of calming you during the Vata time. Often people that exercise a lot or have a lot of chaotic things happening in the day between 2 and 6 p.m. wake up during that time in the a.m. Like if 3 p.m. is like chaotic, like picking up your kids from school and getting all this stuff going on, getting dinner started, all these things, you might find yourself waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, I'm doing all these little teaching things along the way here, but so in the afternoon is a great time, that 2 to 6 p.m. time, focus, study, and then also having an earlier, lighter dinner. So just a little something supplemental to tide yourself over until breakfast the next day. And so that should ideally be done by 6 p.m. And then 6 to 10 p.m. is kapha time again. And this is a great time for tending to your hearth and home or connecting with your friends and family, maybe going for a walk or doing some yard work or, you know, tidying your house, and then sinking into that depth of earth and water that's kapha to let yourself go to sleep before 10 p.m. Because if you don't, then at 10 p.m., we switch over into pitta time again. We get a second wind. People often get hungry again. We start projects. And we're actually stealing our energy from the next day. So if we're actually able to go to sleep before 10 p.m., our bodies are able to do their deep cleansing work. So it's like our cellular intelligence lights up. And we can imagine little janitors coming into our bodies and like cleaning out everything. And this is when the best healing is done in the body, is between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. And so we want to give ourselves that gift. And if we're not doing that, it sets us up for further imbalance, which ends up being disease. Most people that have an autoimmune disease don't have an early sleep schedule. Most people that end up with problems with weight eat late and don't have enough time to eat their biggest meal late, don't have enough time to digest their food. So there's a lot of these patterns, like regardless of what your constitution is individually, that you can start to see it's just living in alignment and it solves a lot of problems. Like people are blown, like my clients are just blown away that the reports they get back from their doctors. I'm like, I'm changing. I just switched their dinner to lunch. You know, have them go to bed by 10, you know, there's these rhythms and we get to this gradually. It's not like everything changes all at once because it's a year long program. So you can really implement it so that things are actually automated by the end of the year. It's not just like you do it for a few weeks and then you go back to the way you were, which is how most people live.
Yeah, unfortunately, and it doesn't tend to stick, especially when you're trying to do far too many things at once. But just hearing you sort of talk about those, you know, blocks of time and that, I was thinking about what I do. I'm a morning exerciser. It's the first thing that I do, go out, get the morning sunlight, sets me up for the day. And studies, you know, a lot of the scientific studies that have come through have shown that, you know, you have increased metabolism, you actually have better focus and concentration from doing exercise in the morning compared to if you did it in the afternoon or the evening. So it's amazing that, you know, a system essentially that was developed 5,000 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Science is backing up what it's saying, but realistically.
Totally. I love it. Yeah. Like the study of chronobiology continues to prove Ayurveda correct. And what's interesting is, yeah, it's been around for over 5,000 years. So what else are we clueless about? You know, like this is my constant curiosity. It's like, what did this ancient wisdom, these ancient teachings know that us in our modern culture, we're so wise, you know, or we're so smart, I should say, but I don't know that we're wise. Like we've lost our connection with truly what keeps us in rhythm. We're diurnal creatures. We're made to be awake during the day and asleep at night, but electricity has changed all of that for us, you know, being able to, you know, like we're having a conversation across the other side of the world right now, you know? Yeah. Like they could never have imagined all of these things.
Yeah. And I think to, you know, just the introduction of say work schedules where people are expected to work between 9 and 5 or 7 and 3 or 7 to 6 PM, you know, those types of things, industrialization, development of the food system. I think they're, you know, it's there in our bodies, but we push it down and not listen to a lot of it because we know we have to go to work, because we're going to get home from work and not have a lot of time. And so therefore we have to eat later in the day and then we're exhausted. So we pull out the phone or the iPad or, you know, I think it's just a lot of those, like you're saying, those extra things that have come in, it's there in our body and we know we feel better when we do it, but it's trying to make those changes incrementally so that we can get back to that system that works.
Right. Yeah. And when the rest of the world around us isn't functioning like that, when we've made productivity at work the most important thing in our lives, and we sacrifice our health, we sacrifice our relationships, we sacrifice even feeling like we have a connection to something greater. We're just looking at, you know, the to-do list, what can we check off for the next day? It really whittles us down to feeling like we're victims of our body's functions instead of in a friendship with our biology and our neurobiology too. I mean, there's so much happening with our brain chemistry that, I mean, I have my own history with anxiety and depression because I was living so out of balance and wasn't eating what I needed to eat and wasn't sleeping when I needed to sleep and wasn't moving in the ways that most benefited me. And it's really powerful when we're living in a culture that says, you know, medication or surgery is generally the way to treat things. And I'm so grateful those things exist. I'm not saying they don't have their place. They do, but there's so much that can be treated and can shift if we simply empower ourselves to live in alignment with nature, to understand our unique constitutions, and to decide that that's how we want to live, and being in community with other people that are also having those conversations, committed to living that way is what's really, really important. And that's why I've created, you know, the that are in our communities so that we have those connections because we're social beings. We'd rather belong than be healthy, most people.
Hi, everyone. I'm interrupting this podcast just quickly to let you know about Lean 14. If you want to have more energy, lose weight, start moving, and just feel really good again, but maybe you're not sure where to start, then definitely check out my program, Lean 14. Now, Lean 14 is a complete program with a 14-day food and meal plan, recipes, shopping lists, Pilates workouts, templates for meal prepping and goal setting, as well as video trainings to help you kickstart your health and fitness. It really provides you with an easy to follow, clear plan of where to start with your diet, nutrition, looking after yourself, and the best bit, you can start at any time and there's no crazy food or expensive equipment or complicated instructions involved. It's really simple, it's easy, and best of all, it's effective. And I don't want you to miss out. To grab it now, simply head over to the show notes and click the Lean 14 link, or head on over to the Mind Movement Health website, and under the programs tab, you can hit Lean 14. Now, this program is based on my 18 years of experience of working in the health and fitness field, and the results that I've gotten for thousands of women that I have worked with during that time. So head on over to the show notes and check it out because it will change your life.
Yeah, or you will make sacrifices in order to belong, even though you know it's not in your best interest to fit in.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, behavioral science shows us that we actually have the habits of the five people we interact with the most. Our habits are not our own. We're not actually deciding, like, this is how I want to live my life, end of story. We are very influenced by the people that we interact with. So the key there is to get ourselves in interactions with people who have the habits that we want.
Yeah. And sometimes that's not as easy to do. But like you said, if you can start building that community of people, it does make it a lot easier. Now, can we segue? You were saying before that yoga is the sister science of Ayurveda. So can you explain a bit more about that?
Yeah. So back in the day in India, 5,000 or more years ago, yoga and Ayurveda very much informed how people lived. And, you know, in our modern culture, yoga has been really reduced to one of the limbs, which is asana, which is the physical practice. There's eight limbs of yoga, and those were the guiding principles for a spiritual life. So yoga was a spiritual path. And the reason why we even did asana or the physical poses was to help us calm the frick down so we could sit still and meditate and train our minds so that we didn't have these crazy minds running all over the place. So yoga is the spiritual path. And then Ayurveda is the householder path, or how you live the rest of the time. When are you eating your meals? When are you going to bed and waking up? How is your digestive system functioning? You know, what herbs are you using at certain times of the year? How are you aligning with the seasons? So Ayurveda and yoga together made a full life. You know, it's like you had all the tools for a spiritual path and a mortal path, right? Like here we are in this body, in this life. So now things have gotten kind of teased apart, and we're, you know, looking at what does this look like for those of us that are practicing. You know, I'm a white woman of Eastern European descent living in the United States, and I'm practicing Ayurveda. What the wisdom there is that Ayurveda can be practiced by anybody, anywhere. You don't have to eat Indian food. You don't have to, you know, do certain things. It's just, that's where it originated from. Just like yoga, even if all you're doing is the physical postures of yoga, is still beneficial to you, no matter where you are. You know, yoga is changing people's lives, and it's really become well known in the world. Ayurveda is on the way there. You know, it's becoming more and more popular, but a lot of people still don't know about it. And I really see a future where we are integrating, you know, like Western medicine has only been around for a couple hundred years. There's a lot of benefit from it, but there's a lot that it still doesn't know, that these ancient traditions from the East, whether it's Chinese medicine or Tibetan medicine or Ayurveda, that they have so much to offer. And I really see there's more and more integrative doctors, functional medicine doctors that are really drawing from all these different areas and saying, like, what's the best we can offer people? And traditions like Ayurveda have so much in alignment with preventative care. And you know, I like to think of it as like, we are naturally meant to be on a path of ease. So if you imagine us like trekking down this path of ease in our lives, everything's functioning well in our bodies and minds. And then at some point we start making decisions, usually unknowingly, that set us off on a side trail. And we go on a path of dis-ease. And if we go far enough down that path, we get diagnosed with something. But what we need to recognize is that we often unconsciously, as I said, have made decisions that got us onto that path of disease. And most often, if we haven't gone too far down that path, we can turn around and make some new choices and come back to the path of ease. And this is what I just feel like is the biggest message for people to understand, is you're not stuck. Even if you have a diagnosis, even if you've been told like this is something you have to live with for the rest of your life, and this is where mindset comes in. Like, do you truly believe that? It's like the doctor telling me you have to have surgery or you're going to die. Well, I didn't have surgery and I'm not dead. That was in 2013, right? So what do we believe about what we're capable of? And I believe we're all innate healers, and our bodies know how to heal if given the right conditions. We need that messaging in our world, you know, not just big pharma wanting to make money, but for us to say, you know, look at what the plants are doing right now. You know, here it's fall, there it's spring, right?
Yeah, we're in
where
spring.
You are. Yeah. And so what's happening, like where you are, the world is coming back to life and things are growing and it's getting more green. There's lots of fresh things that haven't been available through the winter. That's what your body needs. You don't need to be eating heavy foods. You need the fresh greens, the asparagus, the cilantro, the kale, you know, that's coming up in the environment. Here, it's getting to be winter time. And we need the, you know, for lunch today, I had butternut squash and kale and some basmati rice and some nuts. Like that is really dense grounding food. That's what we need when it gets cold, you know. When we can live in alignment in that way, where we are on the path of ease, we feel more at ease in our bodies and in our minds. It's powerful.
Yeah. And I love your analogy of that path, because in my brain I am thinking that I'm walking along this path of health, and you know, there's these branches coming out, and they might be, you know, I'm going to stay up late tonight, you know, after midnight, doing some extra work. So I've taken that branch off the path. And then, you know, the next one, when I wake up in the morning, that next branch could be you have an energy drink because you're feeling tired, so you're going that little bit further from the path. Or you could go, okay, I stayed up late, but I know I need some nutrients to start my day, so I'm going to move my body and have a green smoothie and get back towards the path. Yes. So in my brain,
yeah, we all take tangents.
Yeah, looking at these branches, and you can see how just a small habit of staying up way too late every night and sort of, you know, feeling that you're depleted in energy can keep taking you further from the path. So if you don't start to make just these small incremental changes to get back, how it can lead to that state of dis-ease or disease, as you were sort of putting together two before.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's so incredible. You know, I had one of my current clients messaged me yesterday and she said, "You won't believe this." She had previously been diagnosed with melanoma and in her eye. And she was told that she was going to lose her central vision. There was nothing that they could do. And they did a radiation treatment to preserve the vision that she had. She just went, this is at the Cleveland Clinic, which is a pretty famous clinic here in the US. And she went for her checkup and they said, "We can't believe this. Your vision is totally fine. It's totally fine. You've got 20/20 vision." They said, "You're the only the third person in the history of the Cleveland Clinic to have these kinds of results. What are you doing?" And she said, "I've been practicing Ayurveda." Now she's been working with me and we have not been focusing on her eyes. We've been focusing on her whole system, right? Living in alignment. So like the program that I lead, we have 10 daily habits that we do. And this is just like what we start automating. Like the doshic clock I just shared, I shared some of the habits in there, but the rhythms just get you back into alignment and then things heal. And it doesn't mean that we have to pick ourselves apart and be like, "Oh, let's focus on your eye." You know, it's like if the whole system, we're an integrated organism. If the whole system is functioning, then everything's working, right? And we can heal. And that's what's so exciting to me, you know? It's like, yeah, people lose weight or get off of medications or, you know, these things. But when they've been told by a doctor, like, "This isn't going to change for you," and then it does, it's like, maybe we need to be careful about what exactly we're giving definitive statements about. You know, we're pretty powerful.
Yeah. And like you're saying, everything really is interconnected. And that's what I'm always trying to communicate to my clients, whether or not we're working on their nutrition or we're working on their movement. Health doesn't have to be hard. It is really going back to basic things. We know the types of foods that are going to nourish our body. We know that sleep is going to nourish our body. We know movement is, but it's finding the way back to those habits, I guess, that can be hard for some people.
Right. And learning what does work for you. I mean, one of my personal stories is that, you know, I thought for a long time, like most people think that if you want to be healthy, you need to eat lots of salad. Right. So lots and lots of salad. So that's what I used to do. I was like, "I'm so sick of having this extra weight gain." I used to weigh like 20 more pounds than I weigh now. I'm a pretty thin person naturally, but, I was like, "I'm so tired of having this extra weight and, you know, not feeling so good and chronic constipation. So I'm just going to eat salad for lunch and dinner every single day." Well, because my constitution, I'm Vata predominant and high secondary Pitta, but my constitution is very dry, my digestive tract. And I was eating all this salad, which is cold and rough. You know what happens when you put that in a dry system? It constipates you. And so I just kept getting more and more and more backed up. I wasn't able to eliminate and I became dependent on laxatives. And I was just like, "I just need to eat more salad." So I was driving myself into more and more imbalance because I was just like, "Oh, everybody says to be healthy, you need to eat salad." What I learned when I went to my first Ayurvedic consultation was that my constitution does not do well with raw food, right? And especially once I had overburdened it over and over and over again. And so I really needed to eat warm, cooked, mushy, unctuous food. And I didn't eat anything raw for a year and a half after that. And I had to rebuild my body's ability to have peristalsis, to even have a bowel movement. And, you know, that is an example of how we can trick ourselves into thinking like, "Oh, I know what's healthy." A lot of people tell me, "Oh, I know what I need to eat. I just don't. I should, you know, I should just have a salad." Well, for some people, if you are more Vata, that's not the solution for you. And so recognizing that there's not a one-size-fits-all approach, that when we can understand our unique constitutions, then we have this roadmap and we can say like, maybe for you, having salad every day helps you have a regular bowel movement and keeps you on track and makes you feel really good. But for me, it's too rough and cold for my system. That's really good for me to know, like, for the rest of my life. You know, like, I do sometimes eat salads now, but only in the summertime when they're fresh and my digestive system is supported by the heat and the light in the environment. So these pieces are really, really key. And we can tend to think like, oh, I know what I need to do. But sometimes what we think from what we know from popular culture isn't necessarily exactly what we individually need.
Yeah. And it really is going back to that individuality in that everybody's body is very different and reacts very differently too. So seeing that, you know, like you said before, you might think, oh, I keep hearing about this ketogenic diet. And so that is healthy and I need to do that, but it might work for someone and it might not work for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And we see that with all diets and all fads. Some people be like, this is the best thing I've ever done. And it's changed my life and it's great. And then their friends, you know, is like, I feel awful, or I'm gaining weight, or I can't sleep, or whatever it is. And it's just really, figuring out what works for you. So yeah, you can go on the trial and error path of, you know, figuring that out, or, you know, delve in more to something like Ayurveda, which will really help you see clearly what and why all of those pieces are the way they are for you. Yeah.
And with the side of the yoga, and you were saying that yoga has eight arms, if somebody was like, okay, this is all sounding like I need to try this, how do they know what arm of the yoga they should be trying out? Or is it, you know, try out them all and see what works for your body?
Okay, so the other limbs of yoga aren't really focused on the body. So the eight limbs of yoga, we can go over those. The first one is the yamas, which are like how we behave, which are, there's five yamas. Ahimsa, which is non-harming, satya, which is non-lying, asteya, which is non-stealing, brahmacharya, which is being in alignment with your values, and aparigraha, which is non-hoarding. And then there's these other five. So there's the yamas and then the niyamas. So the niyamas are observances, which are saucha, cleanliness, santosha, contentment. Tapas is like your inner fire, like your passion and focusing on what is true for you. Svadhyaya, which is fun to say, which is self-study. And then Ishvara Pranidhana, which is surrender. It's like recognizing we're not totally in control. So those are the first two limbs. And then there's asana, which is the physical poses, which is what most people consider yoga. There's pranayama, which is often woven into asana, which is breathing practices and energy movement practices. And then we get into these four other limbs, which most people don't pay a whole lot of attention to, which is pratyahara, which is withdrawal of the senses. So we're pulling in our senses from being just active and constantly on. And this is really key for our ongoing health and immunity, to tune into our senses, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, and our skin, because the aging of the senses, how much we use and abuse our senses, it causes us to age. And one of the main causes of disease from an Ayurvedic perspective is not honoring the senses or abusing the senses, which can be as simple as listening to music too loud, or not dressing warm enough for the weather, or eating foods that don't taste good to you, like if they're rotten or rancid, but you're just like, whatever, I'll just eat it. Like, that's disobeying your senses. And this leads to disease. Back to the limbs of yoga. The sixth one is dharana, which is intense focus. So it's like one pointed focus. This is getting us into preparation for meditation. Can we still the mind to focus on one thing? And this is what most of us living in our current world right now really can't do. We're not good at maintaining one pointed focus. We are masters of multitasking and exhausting our faculties constantly. The seventh is dhyana, which is the state of meditation. And once we practice all of these, we get to samadhi, which is the what we call like the state of oneness or enlightenment. So those are the eight limbs of yoga, and most people don't know about them. You know, they might know about pranayama or meditation, but there's this kind of progression that they go through, and asana is just stuck in there, you know. And it's powerful. And I don't want to say, you know, don't just do that one. Yes, it's a great start. And it's for a greater purpose. The movement, the twisting, like all of the yoga postures serve our bodies and our minds to detoxify so that we can arrive at our meditation cushion to do our breath work, to do our one-pointed focus, and then get into this place of consciousness opening up from clearing out all the gunk from doing the asana practice. That's how we can arrive there. So it all ties together. And so if you're just practicing asana practice, you've got a good start, you know, you're on your way. And then it's really about, like, so many people I talk to just say, my mind is just crazy. Or like, I just have all these ruminating thoughts, or, you know, I sit down to meditate and it's like, everything's going on in the mind. It's the monkey mind is what we call it, you know? So these practice, and they're called practices because they're hard, and you show up to them and you just keep at it, right? And eventually things get a little more, at least familiar, if not a little more easeful.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that will be really helpful, because as I kind of sort of said, I'm a Pilates instructor. I've dabbled in a little bit of yoga when I was pregnant and was told definitely go do pregnancy yoga. But other than that, I haven't done a lot of it. So it was nice to hear about those eight different limbs and know that, you know, that the actual, you know, going to do a yoga class is only a very, very small part of the overall picture.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a great start, you know, and, you know, same with Ayurveda. If all you do is start eating seasonally, like, that's going to benefit you. You know, our microbiome is very aligned with the macrobiome of the world around us. So if we can eat local and seasonally and eat when the sun is at its peak, like, we're going to feel supported by that. You know, you don't have to go into all the, you know, all the intricacies, although those are very beneficial too, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, if there's just these little pieces that we take, you know, I think it's all benefiting. You know, the more of us in the world that are healthy and happy, the better off we are as a whole, you know. So my goal in what I do is to alleviate unnecessary suffering. There's suffering that's inherent in life. We're going to lose loved ones, we're going to, you know, have things happen that we don't want to happen, but there's a lot of suffering that can be avoided because of our own choices. And that is really why I feel so passionate about the work that I do, is to help alleviate the unnecessary suffering so we can get on and do the bigger work in this world. You know, we're needed to uplift the energy in this world. It's a challenging time on our planet. And for us to be suffering unnecessarily is just unfortunate. Let's do away with it, you know?
Yeah, agree. And, you know, hearing your passion is amazing. So anybody, I think, that's, you know, in your vitality circle and working with you is definitely very lucky to have, you know, such a passionate person to work with. So,
thank you.
I did want to say that too. Now, before we sort of wrap up today, is there one thing, just one tip that you could give listeners that if they went off today and they've thought, well, I just want to change one thing that's going to change, you know, start to change my health, what would it be?
I think I'll say one thing that I already mentioned, which is moving your largest meal to the middle of the day. It's a game changer. And I would say even initially, you don't have to change what you're eating, just change when and see what happens. You're going to sleep better. Your mental clarity is going to be better. You'll lose weight without even trying. It's pretty amazing.
It is. And just to think that you're, you know, the physiology of your body and the way it digests food and uses those nutrients, depending on what time of day you're eating those foods, just kind of blows my mind that the body is so amazing and so smart that it can just change that. So yeah, that's an amazing tip.
And great point you just made there too. Like the body is so smart, you know, so if we can pay attention to it, if we say like anything that we're noticing or feeling is a teacher for us, that's the gold, you know, when we can be like, oh, I'm feeling bloated after eating that meal. Like, I mean, part of Ayurveda is food combining too. So we look at like what foods digest well together and, you know, what foods don't, and we don't want to be putting them in the pot of our belly at the same time. But that wisdom of like, yes, our bodies are so smart. And how often are we actually listening to them and learning from them? Often we're saying like, stop that. That's so annoying.
Yeah. Come on. I need to go take.
That's so annoying.
Yeah. Take an antacid because I've got acid reflux or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then to think like, well, why do I have acid reflux? What is the pattern that I see here? Or what can I trace this back to? Or what's my body trying to tell me? We can be such good friends with our bodies. And ultimately it comes back to like loving ourselves. You know, a lot of the women who go through my program, that's one of the things they say when they're leaving is like, well, I came into this program to like heal X, Y, and Z, but I'm leaving having healed those things, but also loving myself. And I just feel like that's so key, you know, like, do we deeply honor and care for ourselves, this temple of our bodies, the wisdom of our spirits. It's so powerful to really tune in instead of being so externally focused.
Yeah. Well, I think especially as women, especially if you have been maybe brought up to be thinking about other people or you have kids. And so, you know, I was just saying to my husband this morning that your life changes a lot. Once you have kids, you kind of often feel like they come first, you know, they're screaming or crying and you've got to feed them first, even if you're hungry or, you know, so you end up doing that. But then if you, as you know, you change through your life and they grow up, if you don't start potentially changing back and sometimes at least putting you first, then that's when the flow on effects of ill health and stuff can really start to show through.
Right. And I think it's important too. I mean, I honor you having little ones, you know. I think it's important too to recognize what you're modeling for your children. You know, do you model, and I'm not saying specifically you, but any parent out there, are you modeling that everything is about the kids? And so you're not eating well or exercising or sleeping well or whatever. And so they don't see that's a way for them to be. And this whole idea of, you know, we talk about it in terms of putting your oxygen mask on first, right? When you're in an airplane, hopefully nobody's ever had to deal with this in real life, but right. When they say, if there's a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will be released and you put on your oxygen mask first before helping somebody else. Well, the same is true in our lives. If mama isn't doing well, nobody's going to be doing well. You know, if you're tired and grumpy and, you know, feeling yucky in your body and feeling like you're always behind and everything's on your shoulders, you're not going to show up as your best self. And you're not going to be an awesome partner, mama, community member, coworker, whatever it is, right? So when we can nourish ourselves, people think of it as being selfish, but it's actually quite the opposite. It's the most selfless thing you could do. Because who wants you showing up tired and ragged and grumpy to your life? If you can show up inspired and nourished and healthy and vibrant, then your inner cup's overflowing. You can do and be so much more. But that first step of self-care can be really, really challenging. That's a mindset shift for most people. It's like, taking care of me means I'm thereby taking care of everybody else. Powerful.
Yeah. Very powerful. Now, where can listeners reach out, connect, follow you?
My website is heartfeltwellbeing.com. That's my business, Heartfelt Wellbeing. And I run a Facebook group where it's free and I teach yoga live twice a week. And then I also teach an Ayurveda session each week as well. And that's called Heartfelt Yoga and Ayurveda. And that's on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram under Heartfelt Wellbeing. So amazing. I hope to connect with lots of you.
Yes. Well, I'll link that all up in the show notes as well so that it's easy to listeners can head there and click those links just to make it super easy. But thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your wisdom. And, you know, I love having these conversations, and it's always, I'm sure listeners are sort of listening in, and you'll have at least one aha moment that you could, you know, just take away and add in or eliminate something just to help simplify health. So thanks again so much for coming on the show.
Yes. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And thank you for the amazing work you're doing in the world too, helping people heal. It's so needed.
Well, I figure that, you know, if we've got more of us helping each other, then it's only going to be a better place. So let's
absolutely. Yes. Well, thanks, thank you so much. It's been fun.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.